Remember that. Some of y'all that are here for the first time, I welcome you to the House of Manna. I thank you for being here and joining us. I pray that if you do not have a place of worship or family to attend, we welcome you to the House of Manna. We do not take any kind of registration as new believers here as far as we're part of this congregation. We're all family. Amen. I believe that the family of God should be able to enter into a house and feel like they're family. Amen. So we don't do membership. You are family. So I welcome you into the home. I welcome you now to get yourself comfortable and ready to receive what the Lord has for you today. Amen. So welcome. I want to welcome those of you on the podcast that are tuning into the House of Manna. We're going to talk to you today about the core sample. The core sample. Before any construction starts laying a foundation, they will send individuals out there and they'll do a core sample. In that core sample, it's going to tell you what's in the soil. Amen? Well, when you go through the topsoil, it sure looks like dirt every now and then. It gets wet and you got some mud. But beneath that topsoil, there is going to be a base. And then that base is used for a little bit harder surface so that you can build on. But even beneath the base, sometimes you're going to get to some boulders that are underneath there. Amen. I said boulders. Look to your neighbor and say, he said big rocks. Big rocks. Big rocks, Jennifer. I mean some big rocks. Now, when you're doing all this kind of preparation to build, these big rocks will get in the way of building. So you've got to remove these big old rocks, these big old boulders, get them out of the way. But that core sample is going to tell you exactly what can be built on this foundation. So what we have to do is find out what is in our core that is keeping our foundation from being built up. Amen. But you see, how you get to this core, sometimes you, no, I'll tell you this, it's not sometimes, it's all the time. You got to drill down deep. You can't just drill about 6 inches and say, oh, it's good soil. I got saved. I accepted Jesus, so I'm good. But see, if you don't go any deeper than that, anytime the word is sown into your life, it's just going to wither away. So you've got to drill down deep into your soul. And sometimes we don't like to dig down there and drill down to those areas of our life. You know, those issues that we have. Those issues. I said, we have issues. Look to your neighbor and say, you got issues. You know you do it anyhow. I'm just giving you permission to say it. You walk into a place, you're like, oh, she got issues. You know, sis Sosa got issues. They're walking around up there, looking, you know, she got issues. You know, now I'm just giving you permission to tell them they got issues. Tell them again, you got issues. Now look to your other neighbor and say, I got issues. We accept it, right? I got issues. We all have them. Now let's dig deep down so that we can get rid of these issues that sometimes are those boulders that keep us from building on the foundation of the Word of God that we can't get anywhere, can't get built up. We just have a tendency to look pretty. You know how we do on church Sunday? There's certain clothes that we wear that we don't wear throughout the week. If truth be told, some of y'all don't even put makeup on. Well, hey, always in your yoga pants. Ain't done not your one class of yoga. But run around in yoga pants. Okay, Pastor, why are you going there? Because we always want to look the part, but we don't want to do our part. We want to look like we've been dealt with, but we're going to make it look pretty like it's only been just a little bit. But we got to dig deeper down. You see, one thing I know about in the construction area, you don't go and get a core sample with the shovel. Because that has the tendency for the one that has the shovel on how far he can dig is going to tell you what the sample of that soil is. So another thing I'm trying to tell you is you can't look at your own core sample and say, oh, this is what's wrong. Because you're going by your own strength. But when God wants to get in, he uses some big machines. big machines. You know what those big machines are? Your neighbor. Your mama. Your daddy. Oh, Lord. Your wife. Your husband. And your children. And I say children. Because sometimes you can't even speak right when your children get on your nerves. You start acting a little silly. You call them all kinds of different names. I mean different names. Not y'all bad. Y'all start thinking all these bad words. You start calling them, hey, and his name is Tony. You call him, hey, Tanya. I mean, no, Timmy. I mean, and they answer for any of them. Oh, I'm in trouble. Whatever that name is, yes, I'm here. Come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. You get so mad, you forget their own name. So when God gets in the middle of some issues of your life, he begins to dig deep down. But these drills don't go down fast. They go down slow, layer by layer. So if it goes down real fast, it destroys the sample that is going to be evaluated. I haven't even got to the message yet. But he begins to drill down slow that you would think the topsoil, because it's been so hardened, like your heart. Well, we started quick, didn't we? Because when your heart gets hardened, sometimes it can make the drilling cycle get dull and burn out. But this is big machinery I've seen happen this way. Because beneath the top layer could be a boulder that is not seen. Come on, somebody. I'm just trying to tell you, the boulders in your life are keeping you from progressing forward. And these boulders can't be seen unless you continue to dig through. These drills have busted, drill bits have become dull because the boulder is right at the very top of the surface. It hadn't got momentum enough to go deep down to start lifting up what needed to be removed. I'm just trying to tell you about a core sample so that we can build. Are you following me? We got to get beneath what looks good. See, someone gave me a shovel one time for my ministry. And you know me, I like to plant stuff. I went to go and dig, and I hit nothing but concrete. Bing! You know how you see those cartoons? Well, that was the last time I used that shovel. It was too hard. So sometimes we're so used to using the same equipment all the time that we don't go even deeper than what we need to. But if we trust God enough to use something new in your life, to begin to remove the obstacles that keep his word from penetrating, then you can begin to make headway for what God really wants in your life. You understand? Core samples. Look to your neighbor and say, he said core samples. We have to determine the different types of soil that exist in our life. The removal of the boulders and the previous roots need to be excavated. Previous roots. That means there was something sown into your life before that sprout out, came up, had fruit, and the roots are still there, but you don't see anything on the top surface. But then you start digging and start getting rid of the top layers, you start to see other roots that you didn't see. Where'd this come from? See, when God begins to get into your core sample, he begins to remove from you the seeds that were previously sown in. Oh, come on. Would you just get to the word? I hear you. I hear you in here. I hear you. You first got to understand that we have some roots in us that need to come up so that God could plant the good seed, his word, concerning his kingdom here on earth. The kingdom of heaven is not up there. Oh, but that's the kingdom come. kingdom come. Show me your glory. He's like, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You're my kingdom. You're my glory. You just haven't got past your boulders to see it. You understand? So he's still trying to greet us right now. I'm going to tell you this story. There was this reporter out of Galveston, Texas. My mom will kind of get chuckled about this, so will you. This woman was cleaning the birdcage. And she was vacuuming all the mess at the bottom. But she didn't take the bird out the cage. So she's vacuuming the birdcage. The phone rings. She hears the loud, squeal of the bird. The bird no more. So she runs real quick, turns off the vacuum cleaner, opens up the canister, and the bird's still okay. Bird's still alive. True story. Pastor, you making it? I don't make them up. Yeah, real deal here. So then what she does with the bird is in shock. Full of all this dirt, all this mess, all over this bird. So she gets the bird. Puts the bird under the water. Gets it all clean. The bird's alive. In shock. Washing off all the dirt. The lady felt so bad. They saw the bird that was alive. Amen. But the bird was also in shock and full, just wet, sopping wet. So she got the blow dryer out. Y'all went and fried chicken. No. Oh. She was blow drying the bird. Because she felt bad. She wanted to pamper. She was blow drying the bird. The bird staring at her like, scared. Wouldn't chirp. Wouldn't sing. She puts the bird back. Bird's okay. So she gets real nervous about it. And she says, something's wrong with my bird. So she calls her neighbor. Her neighbor happens to be a reporter, John Gibson from Houston, Galveston, Texas. It's a neighbor. So he writes about this in the newspaper of what happened. He also happens to be a minister at his church. And they asked him to minister, and he used this particular story. He says, many of us are like the bird that's in a cage. The master comes in to clean up, but distractions happen. They caused you to be sucked up. And then when it's time to get cleaned up by the master, from all the dirt that is all on you, you get shoved under the water. Then you get taken out of the water. You get hot air blown all over you. Get put back in the cage. But your song is no more. There's no more joy. There's no more singing. It's all been sucked away. I said, well, I'm going to preach on this one. How many of us have had some things happen in our life? We've been through some dirt. But we don't like the cleaning process where we are put under the Holy Ghost's microscope and we begin to get cleansed of some issues in our life. And then after that, the wind of change comes and begins to blow on you, begins to make you look so fluffy and pretty, but you don't like the process. That now we don't want to sing the song we used to sing. We've lost our joy. We no longer sing unto the Lord no more. Now we're mad at God. I can't believe you did this to me. I can't believe you took me out of House of Manna and put me into a gym. I can't believe. Huh? And then he said, oh, you don't like where you're going? You don't even know where you're going yet. I'm just trying to do something to you. You got distracted in the process. You didn't like the process. Now you're mad at me. You don't want to sing no more. Yeah, like some of us in church, we don't have that great voice. I don't. I sing, dogs out there start barking like, hey, hey. But Daddy says, sing, Marty, sing. Sing unto me. I know the cry that you have. I know the song that is inside of you. I put it there. But what I'm about to do is bring a new song to you. Through this process in your life, a new song is about to come forth. You may have to clean and brush yourself off. You may get blown and tossed around, but you're going to come out on the other side. But I'm a God that don't put you back in a cage. I'm the one that loose you from your restrictions. You just don't know how to live free. I'm just trying to greet you. Lord. All about this lady. The bird's name was Chippy. Chippy. He wasn't so chippy no more. He don't want to sing anymore. Look to your neighbor and say, sing your song. Sing your song. Come on, sing your song. Come on, you know you got a song in you. Yeah, but Pastor, the song I sing, I can't sing in the church. Sing your song. Sing your song. Do you think your daddy in heaven don't care? He just, you know what? Just sing. I gave you life so that you would have it and have it more abundantly. Sing your song. He'll dance with you. He'll sing with you. If you just let yourself go in God, my God, what'd he do? He'll heal the brokenhearted. He'll bring peace to a home. He'll change someone's life that will ever be transformed. Sing your song. Sing your song. Look to your neighbor and say, sing your song. Sing your song. So today I want to talk to you about the parable of the sower, but I want to look at it in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Now we'll get to the word. Amen. Now we'll get to the word. Mark 4, verses 1 through 9. Who doesn't have a Bible? Who doesn't have a Bible? All right, get with someone that does. Get with someone that has it. Get with somebody that has it. Come on. Get in the word. Get in the word. Don't take what I'm telling you to be truth. I'm a man. Take the word of God to be truth. Get in your word. Follow along. You ready? When you got it, say amen. All right. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. And they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still another seed fell on the good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. Now we ask you, Lord, help us to remove the boulders in our life so that we can let your word become penetrated into our heart to bear much fruit. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. So you see there, he says that some of it fell on stony ground. That's the hard ground. That's the ground that needs to be broken up. That's the ground that is beneath the little surface of soil that doesn't have give the ability for the seed to take root. How many of you like to do things and have results real fast? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yeah, you know you do. That's why you have microwaves. And when the microwave goes out, nobody's eating. Now, real food that is cooked is never placed in a microwave. It is food, someone says, thawed out. TV dinners, you just thaw them out, it'll be all right. But it takes time to make something taste good. It takes preparation, and it takes the, how do I want to put this? The heat needs to be penetrated slowly, not quickly. In a microwave, it does from the center out, so it burns the center. Well, many of us want to have things done quickly in God, but if we do that, then we're burning the center, the core, out quickly. So when the seed falls on the shallow ground, it says this, that it grows fast. Now, how many of you got babies or had babies? And if you don't have babies, you've been a baby. Okay, so as a parent, your baby is 6 months old in the crib. You go and check on your baby one morning, and you find that your six-month-old baby that is in the crib is now a 23-year-old grown-up. How would that make you feel? Really? You gonna look at me like that? Because I know if I was to go check on my baby, 6 months old in the crib, at 6 months old, that's my baby. But when I go check now, they're 23 years old. Oh, I ain't got no wig, but it'd come off. Ah! It's scary. Not only is it scary, you miss a lot of the years in between. What do you miss? You miss the growth. So what if the seed was to come in and produce and quickly sprout up and begin to grow real fast? I've seen that happen with many ministries. Sprout up real fast and die real quick. Why? Because there's no roots to it. It says this, when the sun scorches it, what does that mean? Oh, the fiery trials that come, you know, ministries. Yeah. Fiery trials. It doesn't bear fruit because the roots. You understand? But then he says the stony ground. That's what I was talking about, the stony ground. We got to move some stuff out of the way. And once we can move it out of the way, we can allow the word of God to get in. When there's sudden change, there's more room for manipulation than real transformation and spiritual healing. If you want things to grow healthy, it's going to grow at a process at the rate that it was intended. You understand? Now, you ever seen those fruits and vegetables where they genetically modify them, GMOs? They come out very big, very shiny. Okay, but they were genetically altered. Okay? That's why they look so big. If truth be told, if you were to eat real vegetables that were untouched, the all natural, organic, fruit sometimes has all different kinds of shapes and sizes, different colors. It's not really appealing to the eye, but it is great for the nutrients for your body. See, we've had it backwards. We want things that look good, look right, but what's really good for the inside, we don't want. I don't even have to say this. If you ask your children today, here is some apple pie and some ice cream, and here's some Brussels sprouts, which do you want? Some of you adults are like, shoot, give me that ice cream, give me the pie. Brussels sprouts. See, we want what is appealing to us that we know that tastes good, but what's really good for us, we really don't want. So we got to move the boulders out of the way. And one of these boulders sometimes has to deal with, we have come from a background of a religious mindset that we can't expect anything new to be from God. Because if God isn't doing it like he did it over 2,000 years ago, it's not God today. He's got to do it the same way like he did back then. No, he doesn't. You ain't God. He's going to do it the way he wants to do it. Amen. I love my mama's cooking. I love it. But I can't eat it all the time. Now, my mom does real good with Mexican food. Salsa.
But I know if I go to mama, make me some pasta. She gonna do what she can do. She make good food. She cook good. But if I get her out of her element, she'll do it. She'll try it. Why? Because she wants to please me. How come we can't let God do that with us? I want to do something different, get you out of your element, but why do you keep putting me back in a box? Why do you keep putting restrictions on me when I have something that maybe you haven't tasted yet or seen yet, but I want you to experience it? I got to get you out of your comfort zone. I got to remove some boulders of religiosity out of the way. See, there was a kid that was playing in a sandbox, but he didn't see that there was a big rock underneath the sand because it was a big sandbox. And he was, you know, playing with the little tonka choys and, you know, little pails and stuff. And when he started digging, he found a big rock and he couldn't move it. So he started pushing it with his leg to get it out of the sandbox. He kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Finally, he got it to the edge of the sandbox, but it was too heavy for him. He was going to lift it up, but it was too heavy. So he tried to kick it up. It was too heavy. He kept on. And finally, he started crying. He couldn't get rid of it. He just started crying. I can't do it. About this time, his dad walks out. He's been watching him the whole time. He says, son, why didn't you use all your strength? He goes, I did use all my strength. I'm tired. I can't do it. It's too heavy for me. He goes, you didn't use all your strength. You didn't use me. I'm part of your strength. So then the dad picks up that rock, takes it out of the sandbox, and his son continues to play. See, the thing is, we think we have to do everything on our own, and we don't let God to show himself strong for us. We think that we can do it by ourselves, but God is saying, if you just call on me, I'm part of your strength. I'm part of your arsenal, the things that what you're going through, I can help you through if you just call on me. But we've been so molded into believing that I can do it all by myself. That's a boulder in your life, thinking that you can do it. We got to remove that thinking, so that the word of God can get in there. Job 14:1 says, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Lord. We all born of a woman. Have you been hatched? Raise your hand. No. We all are born of a woman. If you came from man, someone need to tell me right now. It's a miracle. So we all came from a womb, and it tells me we're all full of trouble. But I know that I have a daddy I can call on in the midst of trouble. Amen. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:12, he says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let me read it again. It's in 2 Timothy 3:12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, yeah, that's me, will suffer persecution. Can't we just do away with the persecution stuff? How many would you like to walk your walk in God without the persecution? Have you tried it? Have you tried doing it, walking your walk without persecution? It comes at you without even trying. All you did was smile. Well, you think all smile. How happy, but you were smiling, always have the joy of the Lord in you. What for? You ain't even said nothing. You just smiled. And then all kinds of persecution comes your way. Wait. All I did was just walk in and say, good morning. What's so good about it? Why are you smiling for? Why are y'all so chipper for? We don't even know where y'all came from. What y'all doing in this place anyhow? How come you got a coat and I don't have a coat to get in? I should have a coat. All you do is say good morning. You know what I'm talking about? Is it just me? You know, some people, you just walk down the halls and people just look at you like, she thinks she all dead. She got that smile and stuff. Persecution comes regardless, right? And every time I try to walk straight with God, walk right with God, try to be so holy, angels are singing when I'm walking and the halo's shining so bright and I'm walking down and all of a sudden the devil shows up because you ain't all that in a bag of chips. Things were going great. I prayed this morning. I was worshiping. I was singing my song. Why did this show up in my life? Where do you think most of your attacks come from? Well, let me move on. Let me move on. We need to get through the tough in our struggles. We need to begin to look that we have to dig down, look at our core sample, and begin to look at what has been hindering the Word of God from taking root. How many different sermons do you have to hear concerning rejection before you get it? How many sermons and teachings do you have to hear concerning bitterness until you get it? Well, see, Pastor, what happened is that I don't always get it the way I got to hear it from somebody. Well, you heard it 15 different times already. Okay, so you get on Joel Osteen's website or you watch the TV show, you hear the same message. Isn't it something when you begin to hear a message in preach and you hear it like 3 or 4 times? Don't you think God is trying to tell you something? Click on the radio and talking about bitterness. Click on the TV and someone's preaching about bitterness. And then you get to your church service and your pastor's talking about bitterness. Oh, what a coincidence. He's trying to tell you, I'm working that issue in your life that's a boulder called bitterness to get it out the way so you can walk happy. Amen? Lord. Yeah. Whew. Some of these boulders, these rocks, have to do with, number one, who you're associated with. Did we dare look at... Never mind. John chapter 12, verses 42 to 40 says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praises of men more than the praise of God. What happens is we get around people that look spiritual. I'm struggling up here. We get amongst people that look like they're spiritual, like they have it all together. They know how to pray for hours. They pray in tongues like you've never heard before. I got to get around people like that. But see, they are not the ones worshiping God. They're the ones wanting to be seen and heard. Oh, come on now. They follow people with titles so that you follow after someone that has a title so that you could be recognized. The Bible says this, that if you just continue to pursue him, acknowledge him in all your ways. Seek him first, the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added to you. He didn't say seek the next prophet, seek the next evangelist, seek the next apostle. Seek him first. See, the thing is, we get so caught up in an old way of following people around. Oh, they're going to be at this place. Oh, they're going to be at that place. Did God move so many times? You could get God right where you're at. And the thing is, he wants to let us know that if I can just get into that area of your life, that I can begin to make some change, you have to will that to me. You have to allow me to get in there and make you see the sample of your core that is messed up. You have more topsoil than you do base soil. Your topsoil looks good to plant flowers. But you have more stony ground than anything else. What is a stony ground? You have so many issues that you don't want to give to God so that the fruit of his seed could bear. You understand? He wants to let his seed of the kingdom get into your heart. Get into your spirit so it can produce. We have to let him do it. So the first thing we've got to do in this is we have to let God get in there, and he's going to begin to show you your associations. Who you're associated with will tell you who you're with. My granddad lived on a ranch, and he used to tell me, he says, if you run with goats, you smell like goats. Well, I used to run with goats a lot. I started acting like a goat. Now, I'm not talking about the four-legged one. I was talking about the goats in church. The goats in the church would walk around talking about what the pastor was saying or what the authority and the leadership was saying and going against it. They began to be like the goat that was ramming against everything else and not submitting to authority. I became just like that goat because I hung around nothing but goats. Whew. We don't want to hear that one. Shall I move on? Shall I move on? No? Are we okay? Is time all right? Okay, because I'm going to finish. Hang around wolves, you start acting like wolves. You start looking for prey that you can devour. You start looking for people that you can mislead. Woo! Then you forget who your true identity is. Who you're with through association will tell you who you really are based on who you're with. Mama used to say, show me your friends, I'll tell you who you are. I can tell you how you're acting if I see how your friends act. Because you'll act just like them. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? You, where are my kids in here? We'll see who you're hanging around with. I know. I know. All right. So we know that if you get around bad company, what happens to your morals? It corrupts. In 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good morals. So we got to make sure who we're associated with. Number two, family. Family. Watch this. This is cold right here. Job chapter 2, verse 9. This is in the Bible, y'all. This is in the Bible. It says this. Job's wife asked him, are you still holding on to your principles? Curse God and die. That came from his wife. My beloved wife, she always encourages me. She doesn't tell me to just curse God and die. She encourages me. Right, baby? But sometimes your wife or your spouse, your husband, knows how to get under your skin. You know, it's quiet in here. It's a little quiet. But family members know that it's going to hurt more of what I'm about to do. Now, I'm trying to set this up for you. Like, family members don't intentionally try to hurt you, do they? They shouldn't, but it happens. I get it. But the reality is the enemy uses your family to get under your skin. And something, what happens is it begins to test you in that area, whether you're going to receive from family. You see, if we're part of the family of God, but we can't trust family, then are we really going to trust what God is doing in the family? We have to trust God. Amen. Family members will get you a little twisted at times. They'll get you a little upset. James 1, 13 through 15 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Where does this come from? Inside of us. So number three, what's inside of me? What is inside of me that is keeping me from growing and maturing and allowing the foundation to be built for the kingdom of God? You understand? What is inside of me that is keeping me from growing? And Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is telling them, we need to hear these things. We need to understand these things. We need to let God be a part of it. Hear what he's saying. If I really want to do better and I really want to be better, then I need to deal with the rocks, the boulders in my life. I need to admit everything is not all right. I need to focus my energy on relying on hearing what God is saying to me through his holy scriptures. I need to apply what I've learned to my life.
If we really want change, we can't just listen and not apply. We can't just hear and not do. We have to put the scriptures to use in our life so that we can make change to our life, not others' lives. Well, I got this scripture. This is a good one for so-and-so because they need to read this scripture. I heard this message today. I'm going to buy the CD and I'm going to go give it to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. They need to hear this. That CD, that message for you, that sermon was for you. Yeah, how many times we would get cassettes given to us? Oh, you need to hear this. This is a good one for you. Oh, this is a good one. Huh? And I listened to it like, wow, that's that individual that gave it to me. Come on, how many of y'all receive something like that? How many times has someone come up and given you something as a gift, as a present, and they give it to you, and it's not your size? What do you do? Like, what? Here you go. What if someone was to give you a gift and it doesn't fit? What do? You go return it for your size. Okay, is this not trick questions? If somebody gives you something that's dirty and stinky, Michal, what do? You wash it. You're like, I wash it real quick because if it's nice, I'll wash it and I'll keep it. But if it's something not of value and it's just trash, what do? Oh, say it again. What? I like that. She said, I throw it away. I throw it away. But why is it when someone in the kingdom of God comes and gives you something that was not from God, you keep it and don't give it back? Oh, Lord. You might want to help me, Josh, because I don't hit a nerve. We receive things from individuals, and then we believe because it came from a church-going person, we need to receive it. If it don't fit, almost went to O.J. Simpson. Almost went there. You know, I was like, hey, if it don't fit, I quit. No, if it don't fit, get rid of it. If it stinks, throw it away. If it's not of any value, don't receive it. But we walk through life with the boulder saying, I've got to be a good Christian and I've got to receive everything before I offend someone. They should be more offended that you're receiving trash from them. We should be able to tell someone the truth. What you're telling me is not right. What you're putting into my life is not good for me. I do not have to receive this. I don't have to receive all of this rejection. I don't have to receive all of this, these words that are bringing malice to my life. If you're jealous, you're jealous. That's your insecurity. Don't make me feel like I'm insecure about who I am. I know who I is. I know who has called me into his glorious image. I know what God has put inside of me. You don't come into it, put me in a frame, put me in a box and say, this is who you are. If it don't line up with the word of God, I don't have to receive it. I don't have to listen to the mess that is spoken into my ears. I got to hear what God says into my heart. Let me move these boulders out the way. Let me move some of the stuff that hasn't allowed his word to penetrate. Let me get rid of some stuff that has kept me from receiving from my Father. Let me get rid of it. Let me get that bulldozer and move it out the way. And when I can't, let me call on all my strength. Daddy, I need some help. Daddy, I need some help with this one. I can't do it by myself. What is he saying? Trust in him. It may not look like it's going to turn out all right, but in the end, baby, he's got something fresh in you. In the end, he's got something better than what you thought you were going to wind up in. He's got something better for you. You begin to walk in a new walk. You begin to get a new step. You begin to get a new song. You know that God has done something fresh in your life. They may not understand, but they ain't walking your walk. They ain't talking your talk. They ain't singing your song.
It's for you to sing your song. It's for you to square your shoulders up. Look up and say, that's my daddy. And if it don't line up with the word, and if it's not what daddy has spoken to me, let me help you a little bit. I ain't got to receive from you. I ain't got to take it from you. I got to tell you that Jesus loves you, baby. That you don't got to be the same anymore. Come on, somebody. He's trying to get to the core so that he can produce fruit in your life. Oh, but this is just the way I am. He didn't make you broke. He didn't make you dysfunctional. Life did. Give your life truly over to the Lord and watch him begin to redo, remold, remake something new. But the truth be told, he's bringing back reformation back to his original state, what it was intended to do when he first made it. Woo! Woo-wee! God is good. Has someone wounded you? Someone hurt you? Someone talking lies to you? Someone been kind of just chatting about you that ain't true? Putting all kind of mess in the atmosphere? Those are the times when you can look back and say, I know that my song is good, but don't let me forget about my crying season. Don't let me forget about the season when all I could do was cry. When all I could do was sit and boo-hoo in a corner. Because that reminds me that I have a daddy that will step right into my place and give me hope, give me strength, and give me a new hope for my future. Because if we call upon the Lord, he will begin to reach down. Said, I'm going to help you, Cynthia. I'm going to help you, baby. I'm going to lift you up. You're not going to stay down. Because we serve a mighty God. He's not going to leave you like that. He's not going to leave you alone. He's got someone for you. You got to understand he's doing something fresh in you. Fresh in you. We can't let him say, this is only a surface thing, baby. He's going to get deep down, John David. He's going to show you what is in your core. He's going to show you what needs to come up and come out. Because he's going to put something in there. He's going to fill it up. He's going to fill it with the kingdom. Why? Why the kingdom of God? Because it is at hand. It's here. I ain't looking for no angel just to show up and say, ooh, there was an angel in the room. What are you here for? I know that you're here for a reason. What must I do? Angels are messengers. Angels are warriors. They don't come just to tickle your ear. I didn't come to tickle your ear. I came to tell you there's a God that wants to get to the core, get to the root. Hey, cut out of the boat seat, pop out, stop. Stand up, Jeff. Stand up, Jeff. You've been overlooked. You've been passed over. But God says that in that dark time and in that season, I have prepared something for you. That out of the gift that God has given you and the talent, watch what God is about to do because of your heart for him. Short season. Short season. An entrepreneur steps out by faith. An entrepreneur doesn't look for what looks right, looks for what feels right within your spirit. They say, what God has given me cannot be hidden. It's got to be exposed for them to see. God's getting ready to expose you. As he exposes you, it begins to form. It's only a season, Liz. It's only a short season. Take this season. But don't lose your song. Don't lose your song. Sing unto him. Dance before him. Blow that trumpet in Zion. Let the church know that there's a God in heaven that is bringing about change in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, someone. Come on, just worship Him. Just worship Him.
See, Tamika, if He says that your voice shall be heard, it's because you've been quiet too long. But it doesn't mean you got to be around people for it to be heard. Let me get over here for a little bit. Because if your voice must be heard, then you must declare, thus saith the Lord. When you begin to declare in the quiet place, He moves you out of a place that you couldn't see, feel, or understand and brings you into His light. And as He brings you into His light, you begin to declare His light into people's lives. Your voice must be heard. Prophesy, woman of God. Prophesy. Don't be looking for people to tell you when you can. Prophesy. It's in your heart to do Daddy's will. It's in your heart. Let go of an old system that you can't put that new wine into an old wineskin. Or you're going to burst. I told you in the holding pattern, you begin to expand. But you're about ready to burst forth. New revelation. New revelation. Prophesy. Prophesy.
Come on, come on, come on. He's good.
You're being healed. You're being healed. All through the service, you're feeling it. There's something transpiring in my heart, God. There's something going on there. He was right there. He was working on you. He said, yeah, what is in there that is making me see things differently? You're about to see that God is about to show you His marvelous love to make some change. Yeah, throw the trash away. Throw the trash away. Don't receive it just because they tell you. You're a teacher. You like to teach. I'm telling you right now, you're going to teach some women of God to understand what it is like to be spoken to like a woman of God. I encourage you. Walk this thing out. You said, but I've been going through some tough times. I have been ridiculed. I've been persecuted. He's just going to do what He did to that bird. He's going to clean you all off. Life has sucked you through its vacuum. And He's about to bring you up out of that cage and display you to many and say, look at my beloved daughter. And look at what my love has done. Look at what my love is about to do. Look at what my love is about to open doors for her. Watch and see. There was healing right now for you in the name of Jesus. Your hope is being restored. Your heart is being renewed, says the Spirit of God. Your faith is increased, knowing that God has come to visit you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Come on, He wants to get in that area. He wants to get in that area. We're going to let Him do it. We're going to let Him get there. Even if we've got to do everything to exert all our energy to move these boulders, even just out of our way for a minute, we're going to call on the strength that is deep down inside. You're going to get into my soul. You're going to get to that place. You're going to move that thing out of the way. Thank you, Jesus. I saw you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You feel good. You feel different, don't you? Yeah, it's not the same. When you came up out of that water, it was changed and different. You began to see things differently. You're hearing things differently as well. Now you have such a burning desire to find out more. Maybe it's all about Jesus and the kingdom of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The pain that you've been feeling. The loss. Lord, restore right now in the name of Jesus. Just restore. The strength and the hope once again. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bless her from the crown of her head and the soles of her feet. Your new beginning, your new birth is now. Walk in it. Walk in it. There's some other transition that is going on right now in your life. And you feel, how is this going to be? How am I going to make it like this? Just know that God ordered it, and you're going to walk all the way through. You'll walk all the way through. God bless you, baby. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. When I was with you last night, I was sitting right behind you. I was watching that baby boy right there that you have in your arms. I'll say this to you right now. If you don't know, seek counsel when you get home.
That boy right there is a demon fighter. He's a prophetic young man. That inside of him, he has visions, signs and wonders follow him. But out of his mouth will come the word of the Lord. Out of his mouth. It's going to be confirmed to you by two other people. You're going to say, that's a prophet, that's a prophet, that's a prophet. Fear not, beloved. God's going to let him be a child. God's going to let him grow. But you yourself, baby, I say this with so much respect and honor to you. The love that you desire, the love that you're craving and asking for, you're about to experience in a whole different way. Whole different way. I felt it last night. You're about to experience joy because you've lost it. You're about to experience comfort because sometimes you feel uncomfortable. You fear at night. At night is your fear comes in. Maybe I speak peace into your life, peace into your heart. Your children are blessed. You're blessed. Your voice and your song shall come forth. Shall come forth. You're a dancer. You like to dance. It's going to be seen for the glory of God. I bless you and I bless that prophet right there for coming in so beautifully. That young lady right there, that baby girl has so much love to give. Don't worry about her. When she gets in school, you may think they're going to try to take advantage of her. She's going to change hearts like that. She's going to change hearts. She's a blessed child. Blessed child. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God is good. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. Come on. Hallelujah. I bless this man of God right now. So much racing through his head, so much racing through his mind. What can we do to make things better? What can we do? See, you're always looking for that silver lining that God always shows you. Some things are just going to be exposed for you. They have been hidden for you, but now they're about to be exposed for you. Not only are you getting ready to step into an increase, you're about to step into a windfall. A windfall. I prophesy to you, beloved, precious man of God, that out of this windfall shall come forth the very scriptures of the Lord out of your mouth, that will flow like honey, that those that will receive it well. The gift that I have given unto you is to plow in areas of finances, to plow in the areas of an entrepreneur. But you are to teach my people my ways. Do not stray from the path that I have placed before you. Your heart burns with passion and desire to do this very thing. Speak to the people of God and encourage them. Do not forget my word. Do not forget my word. Because you are about to experience the greatest windfall in your life. That will change and transform you forever. I declare this unto you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Beloved, walk with the passion and the integrity that I have given you, says the Spirit of God. But release my word. Release my word. Encourage others with my word. Do not forget what I have placed inside of you. I fan the flames right now in Jesus' mighty name. You shall testify of what I have done in your life, says the Spirit of God. You will tell your testimony to many, and you will encourage those who feel like they can't, but they will become overcomers because you have overcome obstacles. You have overcome the mountains in your life. The Spirit of God is saying that you will be a breaker for those that cannot break forth. You will break those things that are standing in people's lives. You will be the breaker, says the Spirit of God, that will break the things that keep them from encouraging themselves. You will break the very things that are keeping up from me, says the Spirit of God. You have a breaker's anointing, and do not Leave it dormant, says the Spirit of God. Moving it now in Jesus' mighty name.